You got a date tonight?
No.
Brothers Alan and Charlie on the sofa watching TV.
Aren't you going to ask me if I do?
They're both drinking beer.
Okay. You got a date tonight?
Sure, rub my nose in it. Besides, I'd rather hang out with you and Jake than engage in mindless conversation with some strange woman in the desperate hope that she might sleep with me.
Me too. Mm.
Hey, if we can't lie to each other, who can we lie to?
To family.
They clink beer bottles.
Who is it?
It's Mom.
Oh, odds.
Once, twice, three.
Shoot.
Hey, Mom. No, I don't have a date tonight. Don't you want to know about Alan?
Alan looks across to Charlie. Charlie shakes his head.
So what's up? Yes, I got your message. I was going to call you back, but I was. Okay, I wasn't. I'm sorry. And you want to tell me why you called? I said I'm sorry. I am sorry. I am. All right, I'm not. So what's up? Tomorrow? Yeah, sure. One of us will be here.
They play stone, paper, scissors together silently. Charlie loses.
I'll be here. All right, gotta go. Love you. No, I'm not just saying that. I'm not. No, I'm not. Mom, we both know where this is going. Sorry to stick you with her. Yeah, sure.
I am.
Right.
I am.
Whatever.
Okay, I'm not.
Schmuck.
For 30 years, every time I call odds, he throws a two, and I'm the schmuck.
Jake and Judith.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dad. Here's the bill for Jake's class trip.
Why are you giving it to me?
So you can pay it.
Me? What? What's the point of my giving you child support money if you don't use it to support the child?
Child support does not cover class trips.
Says who?
You want to make an issue of this, Alan? Fine. Have your lawyer call my lawyer, and they can decide who pays for class trips.
Oh, I'm sorry. Class trips? I'm happy to pay for class trips.
Goodbye, Alan.
Okay, Mom. Good talking to you. I'm going to hang up now. Yes, I am. I am. Okay, I'm not.
He does, and bangs the phone on the table. Alan returns clutching the bill and sits down on the sofa.
Jake's here.
Cool. You know, it wouldn't kill you to talk to Mom once in a while.
We don't know that. Besides, you lost fair and square.
I don't think so. I think you cheated.
At odds and evens? How on earth does one cheat at odds and evens?
Oh, please, don't give me that big cow-eyed, aw, shucks, howdy-doody veneer.
What?
You heard me.
Yeah, I heard you, and as long as we're stringing random words together, shoebox moon pie band-aid.
Let me tell you something, Alan. I say this with no agenda. I am not a judgmental person, but you are a horrible little man. You smile and tell everybody what they want to hear, but I know what goes on inside your grinning little puppet head.
You don't have a clue what's going on inside my little puppet head, because to know that, you would have to be capable of perceiving the world that exists beyond the tip of your...
Don't talk about my... You have not earned the right.
You are a selfish man, Charlie. You're a user. You just suckle from the teat of life, and you never give back.
Suckle from the teat of life? Who are you, Henry Wadsworth Pinhead?
You call me that because you know I'm right.
No, I call you that because you can wear a thimble as a hat.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing.
Just hanging out.
Charlie slaps Alan's head. While Alan's preteen son, Jake, in orange and green, sits between them munching popcorn, Alan, in purple shirt, considers thoughtfully before forming his response to his white and blue shirted brother and then returning the slap when Charlie turns away.
No, if you guys were queer, we'd be what they call an alternative family.
Two and a half men. Next morning, Charlie and Alan in the kitchen.
Morning.
Morning.
Charlie pours himself some coffee.
I feel bad about last night.
That's okay. I forgive you.
I didn't apologize.
Well, then I guess I'm just a bigger man than you are. I'm kidding. Forget about it.
Okay.
So what do you want to do with Jake today?
I don't know. How about a barbecue?
Well, I'm sure the kid's delicious, but I think I'd rather have hamburgers.
Hey, Dad, check it out. Mom bought me new shoes.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah, they were really expensive.
I'll bet.
She said to give you the bill.
Jake hands Alan a crumpled bill.
What? Why do I get the bill?
So you can give me a check to pay her back.
Why?
She doesn't trust me with cash.
Jake opens the fridge.
No, why should I be buying your shoes?
You didn't. Mom did.
Jake closes the fridge door and leaves. Alan looks at the bill with some annoyance.
This is so wrong. I mean, I send her a child support check every month, which is supposed to include things like clothing, food, shoes.
Alan, you're like an Alzheimer's victim in a whorehouse.
Alan looks confused and puts his hands on his hips.
Excuse me?
You're constantly surprised that you've been screwed. And you don't want to pay for it.
Berta, a big woman in a pink cardigan, enters carrying a large basket of washing and picks up some small items.
Morning.
Morning. Hey, did you drop off the bag of dry cleaning I left by the back door?
That was dry cleaning? I thought you were throwing that stuff out.
I threw out my clothes?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I gave it to my sister's husband, Earl.
You gave three cashmere sweaters and a brand new sport coat to your brother-in-law?
Why shouldn't he have nice things? Debt to society.
Well, you're gonna have to get him back.
I wish I could, but Earl's got that one withered arm and he had all the left sleeves him.
Those were expensive clothes, Berta.
You wanna take it out and trade, stud? Because this back brace snaps off with the flick of a wrist.
Okay, that's the last straw. You have abused my good nature for too long, and I am putting my foot down.
Uh-huh. Well, you let me know how that works out for you.
Berta leaves again, having actually picked up very little. Charlie stares after her.
Well, I guess we know who's in charge around here.
Hey, if I want your opinion, I'll ask your ex-wife.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I want your opinion, I'll ask one of the dozens of women you have meaningless casual sex with.
Oh, ouch.
Jake returns.
Hey, Uncle Charlie?
What?
I love you.
What did you do, Jake?
I love you too, Dad.
What did he do, Alan?
How the hell am I supposed to know?
Well, he's your knuckleheaded son.
Oh, he's my knuckleheaded son now, but when you're trawling for tail at the Home Depot, suddenly he's your slow but adorable nephew.
Yeah, I might as well get one perk out of having you sponge off me.
Sponge?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Well, let me tell you something. Take away your fancy house and your fancy car and all your women, and what have you got?
A better-looking version of you.
Have I mentioned how much I hate you?
I mentioned how much I hate you.
Don't copy me.
You're an idiot.
I'm warning you, Charlie.
Jake sponges the piano.
Wow, how childish.
Later on the patio, Charlie is barbecue grilling burgers when Alan pops his head out through the back door.
Would you mind toasting my buns, please?
Charlie lifts his bottle.
To your buns.
You sicken me.
Rose climbs over the rail onto the patio.
Hey, Rose.
What's going on?
Just making lunch.
Charlie spits on a bun.
Want to join us?
Maybe some other time.
Charlie spits some more.
A little garlic butter is also a good way to jazz up a hamburger bun.
He's lucky all I'm doing is spitting on it.
You know, it doesn't take a master's in behavioral psychology, which I happen to have, to see that you and your brother have an awful lot of unresolved fraternal conflicts.
Gee, you think?
Yeah. I also think it might be therapeutic for you two to sit down with someone and explore those conflicts.
You mean you?
Well, I could refer you to the woman I talk to, but she doesn't exist. So, yeah, me.
Let's see. Couples counseling for me and Alan with you as the therapist. Why don't we just drop acid, run out into the ocean, and pretend we're dolphins?
You're exhibiting a lot of hostility, Charlie. You know what we psychologists call that?
What?
Hostility. Why would we need more than one word for it?
Rose, I appreciate your concern, but Helen and I don't need therapy. Everything will work itself out.
Charlie takes a pat of meat from the table and forms it into a burger shape. He puts it inside his shirt and squidges it in his armpit while Rose looks on horrified.
I'm just saying I think it would really help you guys if you could sit down and share your feelings.
Alan lays the dinner table. He picks up a fork and runs it over his tongue.
We're fine, Rose.
Charlie comes in.
Choke on it, princess.
Bite me.
Charlie sets down a burger for each of them and walks away. Alan checks to see he's not looking before covertly swapping the plates over and sitting down again.
I think he may have anticipated that.
Alan looks worried and then exchanges the plates again just as Charlie returns. Charlie looks at the plate and then gives Alan a suspicious glare. Alan looks guilty and the plates are exchanged once more. Charlie sits down, rubbing his hands with an air of satisfaction, and then stares blankly at Alan. Alan stares back hatefully. Alan reaches to a fruit bowl on the table and picks out a banana. Charlie reaches forward and grabs another, almost simultaneously.
How Freudian.
It's not Freudian.
Charlie leaves with his banana.
But mine's bigger.
It's a banana, you moron!
It's not just about you and Charlie, you know. There's that innocent little Moppet to consider.
Moppet?
Jake on the sofa smiles wickedly.
I'm baking air biscuits. Get them while they're hot.
He may not be able to process it now, but he picks up on all the negative emotion around here.
Save yourselves. Run for your life.
Jake runs out.
Okay, well, if you can get Charlie to agree, I'll do it.
Good.
And as a rule, when he says they're bad, you better take his word for it.
Oh, please, Alan. I grew up with two older brothers and... Oh, my God!
Holding noses, Alan and Rose run out. Later, on the patio...
The only reason I let him live here is because of Jake.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
He was a little pain in the ass when we were kids, and now he's blossomed into a three-fingered prostate exam.
Have you ever considered the possibility that since you're the older brother, you've always harbored resentment towards him for usurping Mommy's love and attention?
I'm sorry, have you met my mother?
Okay, so that's a no.
Please don't try to psychoanalyze me.
Oh, Charlie. Psychoanalysis takes years. I'm just messing around inside your head. Have you ever considered the possibility that you are the primary male role model in Alan's life? And if his behavior is making you mad, he learned it from you. So, in fact, you are making you mad.
That's nuts.
Just sit with it for a moment. I think it's a pretty good insight.
Charlie considers.
No, I'm going to stick with nuts. And I don't want to continue this discussion.
Is it because you feel you can't be totally honest with me since we slept together?
No.
Then why can't you be totally honest with me?
I can be totally honest with you.
Really? How much did you like having sex with me?
Let's go talk to Alan.
They wouldn't give me a license.
They join Alan in the living room.
All right. Let the healing begin, you pinhead.
Hey, can you refrain from counterproductive name-calling?
Ooh, such big words from such a little head.
Charlie, please sit down.
Charlie sits next to Alan.
Okay, here are the ground rules. There will be no name-calling and no interrupting. The purpose of this is to air our feelings without judgment. Alan, why don't you start?
Why does he get to start?
Would you like to start?
No.
Then shut up.
Alan, you'll go first. And begin with the phrase, I feel Charlie is blank.
I don't think I could top that.
Charlie glares murderously at Alan. With a glance at his brother, Alan shrugs.
Okay, I feel like Charlie is ashamed to have me as a brother.
Well, there you go. Are we done?
Charlie, you'll get your turn. When was the first time you felt that way, Alan?
I guess on the playground. The first day of kindergarten, he told all his friends that I was a shaved monkey our mom won in a poker game.
Charlie looks impassive and says nothing.
Charlie, why do you think you might have said something like that?
Well, I guess deep down, I always wanted a shaved monkey.
You promised Mom you would look after me.
I was 7 years old. You can't trust a seven-year-old.
You know how he looks after me? He gave me wedgies. From kindergarten on, I got daily wedgies. My butt cheeks didn't unclench until my second year of college.
At which point, a long stick slid out.
Now, let's try it little role playing.
He put dog poop in my Mork and Mindy lunchbox.
Oh, will you please let that go? And by the way, if you think it through, we didn't have a dog.
What?
Mom told me to make you lunch. I made you lunch.
Oh, my God. Do you see what I've been dealing with my entire life?
The real genius was putting it in a hot dog bun.
Do you know that all through the second grade, he would introduce me as his ugly sister, Alana?
That's because all through second grade, you wore culottes.
They were extra roomy Bermuda shorts. I was prone to chafing.
Charlie, how did you feel when you were calling Alan a monkey or a girl or putting excrement in his lunchbox?
It's hard to describe. It was kind of a warm, satisfied feeling.
And why do you think you felt that way?
Because he was such a smartass. Straight A's, mommy's favorite, daddy's boy, stepdaddy's boy. Somebody had to take him down a peg.
You were jealous of me.
No, I was annoyed.
I don't believe it. You were jealous.
No, I wasn't.
Sounds like you were, Charlie.
Okay, you can't take sides. That's unprofessional.
What professional? I'm just making this up as I go along. I'm drawing kitty cats here.
All these years, you had to put me down because you secretly believed that I was better than you.
I know. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I always knew that I was better than you, but I didn't think you knew.
No, I didn't know that. There was nothing to know.
I don't buy it, Charlie. You were an emotionally wounded child.
I wasn't wounded. I was the wounder. He was the woundee. I was a mean, rotten brother. You've got to believe me. I tortured him. Once I convinced him the clothes dryer was a time machine, and when he got out, I was dressed in pilgrim clothes and threatened to burn him as a witch.
And now I understand why you did all those things. And I forgive you.
Don't forgive me. Hate me. Fear me.
Come here.
No.
Come on. Give me a hug.
No, forget it.
Would you rather hug me?
What would be the point of that?
Gets me hot.
All right, if it'll put an end to all this, one hug.
The brothers step forward with arms outstretched and hug. Charlie frowns.
Hey, what are you doing?
See how you like a wedgie. Where's your underwear?
I'm not wearing any, but thanks for scratching my ass.
A coastline at dusk. Alan and Charlie are sitting on the patio admiring the view. Each has a bottle of beer.
This turned out to be a nice weekend.
Yeah, go figure.
Who would have thought Rose knew what she was talking about?
Certainly not Rose.
But she was right. So we had a lot of baggage to clear up.
Yeah, and I'm glad we talked it out.
Me too. You know, and all said and done, all we have in this world is each other.
You, me, and that methane cloud you call a sun. It's Mom.
Odds.
That's okay. I got this one.
Thank you.
Hey, Mom.
Oh, that's Judith.
No, I'm just sitting here enjoying the sunset with my favorite brother, Alan. I'm not lying. I'm not. Okay, I am.
Jake, your mom's here. Hey, Judith, how's it going?
Well, I just had a flat tire on the freeway and called AAA, only to find out that I no longer have AAA because you no longer pay my dues.
Excuse me, but we're divorced. You're supposed to pay that out of your alimony.
No, I'm not. And because you didn't, I had to stand on the side of the road until some creepy little man stopped and offered to change my tire if I would show him my breasts.
Well, there you go. I paid for your breasts.
Okay, fine. We'll let our attorneys figure out who pays for roadside service.
No attorneys. I'm happy to pay for it.
Thank you. Was that so hard?
No, not hard at all.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, buddy. In fact, it was easy. All I had to do was bend over and unclench.
Okay, I said it. Mom, you just said I said it.
Alan steps back onto the patio, closing the door behind him. The sound of their voices is cut off by the door. Charlie finishes the conversation with his mother and hangs up. The brothers begin to bicker again, and then fight before falling over the patio rail together. A home movie, the brothers as children.
Have fun at school.
All right. Charlie, wait up.
Did you make Alan's lunch?
Yep.
Hey, wait, you forgot to kiss me goodbye.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I did.
Charlie, wait up.
ITFC audio description.
manly men.